My guest this hour is the visionary and businesswoman behind the World of Wearable Art. The competition is in its 29th year, if you can believe, and has come a long way from the first show in a gallery out of Nelson in front of 200 people. This year, 103 garments by 121 designers from 14 countries around the world will compete for the 2017 awards, while founder Dame Susie Moncrief joins me now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Kate.
Susie, last year more than 300 cast and crew worked on this show, including 36 models and 34 dancers. I mean, these numbers, it's mind-blowing. Can you give us some insight into what goes on in producing such a show?
Oh, well, it's a giant of a thing to produce, that's for sure. We have an amazing team here in Nelson who work really hard all year to make sure the show happens. But when we hit Wellington, and in fact, I think at present we're unpacking all our garments over there as we speak, it becomes its own little city in a way, where there's around 400 people involved in staging this mammoth event.
How difficult was it to leave Nelson and take the show to Wellington?
Oh, that was just such a hard decision. You know, I'm a Nelsonian, I love Nelson, and this is the birthplace of WOW, but at the end of the day, it just didn't have the infrastructure for us to grow. We could only, I think the sports stadium we worked in only could seat, I think it was about 1,200 people, and we were flying in plane loads of technicians and various people to, you know, stage the show, so it was just becoming too expensive stay here. Yeah.
So that was 2005, wasn't it, that you
left?
Yeah. Did you lose any of the, you know, the Nelson spirit with the change of venue?
No, we didn't, actually. And I think at the end of the day, Nelsonians understood the reason that we had to leave and to grow. And, you know, the WOW still has certainly got the spirit that it had in Nelson. So, yeah, it's great to see it's continued on.
Nelsonians weren't that happy, though, if I recall, at the time when it left.
I wasn't the most popular person in Nelson, but, you know, it's something I had to swallow and stand tall with, because at the end of the day, the vision was to grow it and eventually take it out into the world.
And I'm sure they see that now.
Yes, they do.
Oh, yeah. How do you keep thinking up the themes for all the categories?
Well, I'm just trying to think how many years I'd scripted that show. For 27 years, I had the job of scripting the creative part of the show. And I think my background as an artist certainly helped. And, you know, my whole world is one of creativity, and script writing to me, you know, sort of came to me quite naturally. Yeah.
And what about the amount of money? I mean, if we look at 26 million, I think, is what's pumped into the city over the WOW season, and there's something like 60,000 people attending each year. I mean, that must have surpassed even your wildest dreams.
Oh, certainly. You know, when I started this in 1987, which seems 100 years ago now, with an audience of 200, it really has exceeded my expectations to think that 60,000 people now come from all over the country and the world, for that matter, to come and see this event.
And do you find some designers and artists re-enter over and over and over? I mean, I imagine it's addictive.
Oh, absolutely, they do. We've had some designers that have been entering probably for well over 25 years. And, of course, every year we're picking up new designers now from just about every country you can think of.
Wow. And when did it become that international competition? When did you take it sort of to the world?
Well, it was when we shifted to Wellington, I think. From that time onwards, we started to receive more and more international entries.
So we're up to, what, 14 different countries around the world now?
Yes, it's hard to remember them all, but yes, there's a large number, and that increases each year. I think over 50% of the entries chosen this year are from around the world.
So what's the calibre of those international entries? I mean, do we have an edge here in New Zealand? Do we kind of, you know, it's in our blood and we know what it's about? So, or are you finding that internationally the standard's very high too?
Oh, no, the standard is high right across the board. You know, the New Zealanders entering are every bit as amazing as the entries we get from overseas.
Right. And there's an exhibition touring the world, I understand, recently in Seattle and Massachusetts. How's it received overseas?
Oh, it's just been amazing. It's just finished its stint in Boston at the PEM Museum, and they rated it as one of their top 10 highest rated shows for exhibitions there. So that was fantastic to hear.
Great. And what about the team you work with? Because I imagine that this takes an army. And I know that your sister has been with you from the start. Is that right?
Yes, Heather? She has. Yeah. Yes. Yes, so we've got a very passionate team that work on well. And, you know, it's all very well having a great idea, but unless I've got that sort of team around me and bringing the right people into running the business, you know, the whole that's been really paramount to well success. Mm. But, you know, I don't do that much business anymore. I've got a great team doing that, and my strength has always been in the creative side of well.
So you've stepped back a bit to focus on taking it forward and all the big picture stuff, I suppose.
Yes, I have. And in fact, this year the show has been scripted by Kip Chapman, who's a theatre director and an actor from Auckland. And he's written the script and will direct the show this year. And the script is just absolutely stunning. It's going to be an amazing show.
And that wasn't terrifying for you, handing over your baby to someone else?
Absolutely terrifying.
I bet.
Yes, I went through all sorts of emotions during, you know, that transition of handing it on. But, you know, to see someone like Kip coming in with the passion and, you know, all the ingredients to make the show a total success, I feel very relaxed about it.
Oh, that's good. And what is it that the judges are looking for?
Well, we look for innovation, obviously, and garments that have to be really well made and comfortable to wear on the body. And also, we look for the use of materials, you know, how we're looking for innovation and originality, and also how they relate to the theme of each section.
Right, and that's very well spelt out, isn't it? Because I know, for example, I think there was something like, you know, in a red category, it's absolutely got to be true to, you know, in every way.
Yeah,
the
does.
Meaning of red, there can be no inkling of pink. It's very specific, isn't it?
It is very specific, and also very powerful when you see every garment using one colour on the stage itself. It's going to be a beautiful section.
And also, I suppose one of the beauties of WOW is how much it involves a diverse range of designers and artists from right across all the creative and industrial sectors. You've got students and first-time enthusiasts too, don't you, alongside these sort of professionals?
Yes, and I think that's what makes WOW work so well. You know, it's an international design competition now, and I guess one example of the types of people that enter WOW is a man called Peter Wakeman from Motueka, who decided to enter WOW after he saw a costume on display at Nelson Airport, which was made of saw blades and possum fur. He hadn't actually heard of WOW, even though he lived in Nelson. And but he then decided he loved the thought of designing something for himself. You know, he never took an art school degree or certainly didn't study fashion. But this former boat builder specialised in fiberglassing, and at the time was working as a commercial cleaner, and he went back to his family and started scribbling ideas out on a piece of newspaper, I think he said. And this wonderful concept came into his head, and his family said, "What are you going to make then?" And he said, "I'm going to make a frock." And so he did. He made this highly structured piece called Chica that was just a sort of somewhere between a shapely woman and a sleek car, quite frankly. And that was his first entry, and he won the avant-garde section that year, and, you know, it just completely changed his life.
Gosh, I can imagine. Because the prize pool, I mean, we've gone from $1,000 back in the day to now a massive $160,000, isn't it?
$165,000 these days.
Gosh, fantastic. And how important, tell me, Susie, is the music for the show? Because last year, I understand, Don McGlashan was the musical director.
Yes, that's right. Well, the music it carries the emotion of the script writing, I suppose, is the best way to describe it. It's a bit like going to a movie, but the movie is live in front of your eyes and not on a screen, I suppose. But it is the music definitely does take the audience on a journey into each section.
Absolutely. Do you? I have to ask. Have time for any kind of personal life or other interests outside of this? Because it sounds all consuming.
No, not really. You know, I can't believe how fast these years have gone by. I mean, next year's our 30th anniversary, and I think, gosh, where did that come from? No, I don't have a lot of time for myself. Yeah, I used to love gardening, but my garden's full of weeds these days, and I guess the only thing I really enjoy is, you know, the odd walk on the beach and reading books to get me to sleep at night.
I bet the mind is constantly a creative whirl.
It's true.
So, because it's, I mean, for you it's obviously 24/7, but the show itself starts, is it 21st of September, opening night? I mean, all
yes.
the judging happens prior to that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah. Yes, we've just had our first judging round, and the second one's coming up in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So, yes, it starts then and goes right through to the 8th of October. And within those shows, we have some matinee, you know, some daytime shows, which are great for the school holidays, actually. So,
and tickets are still available?
Yes. So, well, we've put an extra night on, actually, due to the demand for tickets. And there's still some fantastic seats available.
Wow. Fantastic. Mm. And you mentioned the 30th anniversary next year. What can we expect for that? I bet your mind's already whirring on that one.
Well, it is indeed. And I'm working on that show. This is probably going to be the last show that I script personally myself. And I'm working on it with Malia Johnston, who has been an art director for WOW for many years. So we're both furiously working at present on the 30th anniversary show that Malia will art direct. So, yeah, it's fun. I enjoy it.
I bet you do. Well, you'd have to, wouldn't you? Well, thank
yes.
you very much for your time this morning, and all the very best with what I know will be another sensational show. Really appreciate your time with us this morning.
Dame You're welcome.
Susie Moncrief. And I can speak from experience. I have attended many a World of Wearable Arts show, and I can thoroughly, thoroughly recommend them. It is a spectacular performance. If you've never been, it is well worth putting in the diary. And I think it's a really cool thing to do with your mum or your sisters or take your daughters. Or I'm not saying it's just a girl thing, but I do know, as females, looking at not just the fashion, but the way it's put together and the different sort of elements of it, and she's right, the artistic direction and the music, and it's just a great night. It's a great vibe, and it's a really spectacularly very, very international, well-done event. So I can't recommend it enough. So I would suggest if you can get down to Wellington for it, you should do it and take your kids. It's really mind-blowing for them to see something so creative.